Every 10 years, the illegitimacy rate more than doubles in the United States, mostly among teenagers. Is this freedom craze proving to be the solution to the problem, or just more of the problem? I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today, I'd like to talk to the young people in our Amazing Facts audience. More and more of the youth are writing letters and asking some of the most important questions that puzzle people about God and religion. One thing is very obvious from the correspondence, friends, and that is that boredom has become practically a universal problem with most young people. Once, people thought that money and the things it could buy would bring happiness. Some people are still on that trip, but most freely admit that they're not happy. When a man worth $2.5 billion says that he's not a happy man, we're led to ask if he really is rich, even with that fabulous bank balance. Other people have other ways of searching for happiness: power, sex, drugs, rebellion. But by talking to them, you discover that they're looking for happiness in these ways, but generally they're not finding. Well, finally, a lot of these people are trying the only thing that's left. More and more of them are trying something that really will work, and they're trying God and finding out that the old church philosopher was right after all. You remember, he's the one who prayed, "We are restless until we find our rest in Thee." And God Himself described it as creating us in His own image. To use an imperfect analogy, God designed the human machine to run on Himself. In other words, He is the fuel that we're to burn. There's no other. But Satan put into the heads of our remote ancestors the idea that they could be like God, and they could set up on their own as if they had created themselves and be their own masters, invent some sort of happiness for themselves outside of God. And out of that hopeless attempt has come nearly all that we call human history: money, poverty, ambition, war, prostitution, racism, empire slavery, drug abuse. The long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Since our useful fuel is God, it's just no good to ask God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself. That's the key to history. Terrific energies expended, civilizations are built up, excellent institutions devised, but each time something goes wrong. Some fatal flaw always brings the selfish and cruel people to the top, and it all slides back into misery and ruin. The machine conks out. It started out all right and runs a few feet, but then it breaks down. They're trying to run it, friends, on the wrong fuel. Real happiness, where do you find it in this rat's race called life? Conform, conform, that's what the establishment will tell you. Don't be different. Don't make waves. Just work hard, study hard, find your niche in the treadmill of life and stagnate there the rest of your days. That's their brand of happiness. That's what a lot of people say. But listen, you're a young person. You're young and restless. You're not content to become just another face in the crowd. You want to feel that your life is more than a statistic on the population explosion chart, and more than just 9 digits on a Social Security card, and more than a series of holes punched in a computer card. That's not real happiness, friends. We'll all agree to that. And then there are other people who say just drop out of society to find real happiness. And you know, sometimes that sounds tempting to any of us, till you find that dropping out can be pretty lonely business. What you really want is love, someone to care about you, and that takes people. But you've seen lonely people like yourself who've dropped out with drugs or something else, freaked out, wound up more alone than ever before. That's not real happiness. Who can you trust about this happiness thing anyway, friends? Advertising men are out to make a buck at your expense. So they say if you brush your teeth with this or put that on your hair, you'll find love, you'll find happiness. They paint a picture of happiness and tell you that if you'll drink their booze or smoke their brand of cigarettes, you'll enjoy life. But you're not dumb, and you know the other side of the story. You know that hangovers and lung cancer are not real happiness either. The billboards flash the news of 1,000 kinds of entertainment. But you know that no matter how many places you go and how many things you see and how fast and loud your music rocks, how far out you get on drugs, that it can't last forever. And when you come crashing down after it's all over, you've got the same problems to face. The same feelings of boredom and dull emptiness and no real happiness. There's a lie going around that real happiness is in doing what used to be called sin. And your enemies on both sides of the generation gap will try to exploit you by getting you hung up on some kind of sin, quite frequently sex. But that doesn't work either. Right now, America's going wild over sex movies. But give us time and we'll be just like some of those countries where it's been done before us and where movie attendance has drastically dropped off. Bored with too much sex on the screen, these people are staying home. You see, friends, plain, raw, purely glandular sex won't bring you any kind of real happiness. That's feeding the old establishment idea of materialism. The whole hang-up of young people has been this neglect of the individual, the selfish exploitation of the person as an individual, just to satisfy some physical goal. From love and sex is another move into what we would call the materialism of this hung-up world or age of ours. It dwells on a plane of physical enjoyment and indulgence. Self-love, if you please. Everybody knows that this isn't going to make people strong. It's going to make weaklings out of young men and young women. It's also going to proliferate the social problems that we've been trying to eliminate. Did you know that over 1 million American teenagers become pregnant every year? 30,000 of them under 15 years of age. 40% of today's 14-year-olds will be pregnant at least once before age 20. Now, if the new youth generation is going to solve more problems than it creates, then youth had better stop this selfish exploitation of free sex. Following every emotional impulse will do nothing to create the brave new world that you demand the right to help build. This crude, animalistic view of love and life couldn't be real happiness. Who could ever believe that the 1 million-plus pregnant brides this past year were freer and happier because of being forced into marriage? And in the state of California, one half of all the teenage girls who got married were already pregnant. Is there a person in all the world who believes that these hasty and insecure marriages will lead to strength and true happiness? These young people are creating problems, not solving them. You see, sin can't set you free. Maybe you've bought that line about God's Ten Commandments tying you down and that to be free you had to break them. It just isn't true. God gave us those rules because He knew if we obeyed them, we would have real happiness. But a long time ago, we decided to do our own thing and break them, so we wound up in the prison of sin and found ourselves miserable. A man named Paul had a lot to say about this. He said, "My inner being delights in the law of God, but I see a different law at work in my body. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man I am." You see, friends and young people, God made us to be good and to be happy. And our unhappiness, our boredom, comes from sin, from conforming to and obeying the law of sin. And the big shot sinner who tells you to break away from God and be free is really enticing you into conformity and bondage. Paul exposed them and gave us a solution to our dilemma. He said, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your mind from within so that you can prove and practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity." And, of course, we might add, true happiness. When we broke God's law, we deserve punishment and misery instead of happiness. But God loved us too much to see us miserable. And so He gave us this promise, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God's Son Jesus came to live among men and to show them how to find real happiness. And this is what He said. I've told you this so that you can share my joy and that your joy might be full. Across the world, thousands of people, your age, young person, they have found real happiness by having this man Jesus as their friend. Their lives are full and exciting. They can face and solve their problems. They can wear a genuine smile on their faces. Because of him, they're important individuals. Instead of numbers on punch cards, they're sons and daughters of God. They found out that if the Son, Jesus, makes you free, then you will really be free. There is no freedom or happiness in unbridled sexual license. Even when premarital sex does not result in conception, somebody gets hurt. For example, in those couples who indulge and soon marry, even though neither party's been promiscuous, circumstances arise that suggest doubts about the fidelity of the other spouse. The memory of that previous behavior increases a lack of trust and confidence and leads to quarreling and too often to divorce with its terrible disruption of the family. Sex is talked about so freely today that even mere children are amazingly well informed about anatomical facts, and most adolescents believe this is the whole story, blissfully ignorant of what constitutes a mature understanding. Young people of high school and college age who see adults seemingly doing as they please and getting what they want, they equate freedom with absence of restraint. They often are led to seek no higher control for themselves than their own feelings. But feelings, my young friend, feelings are temperamental, changing from minute to minute, variable according to circumstances. An action on this basis is not freedom at all. It's the old slavery to passion, leading to destruction of everything that makes life really worth living. And this cult, you know, sex in America is fast becoming a cult. The cult of sexology. And this cult flourished in pagan nations and in ancient days. Ashtaroth, the patron goddess of sexual love, known to the Babylonians as Ishtar, was worshipped throughout the ancient East. Aphrodite was worshipped by the Greeks and Diana by the Romans. In honor of these goddesses, the ancients built temples, and in these shrines they worshipped the sex symbols and participated in festivals of immorality in their honor. And the world of Noah was turned into ashes because they did the very same thing. The Bible says every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And so all those countries and nations went down to destruction, friends. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, God allowed them to come on the stage to try them and test them, to see what they would do about the great principles of truth. One by one, they went down and failed and then were taken out of existence. God would bring up another generation, another nation, to give them an opportunity and a period of probation to see what they would do with the truth. But one after another, they've gone down. And I can tell you today that the only real way to true happiness is the way of obedience and conformity to God's great moral law. And by the way, when you do write, friends, please give the call letters of the station to which you're now listening. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.